Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us this morning. It's so lovely to be with you. I trust that you're all well and healthy and happy and still blessed. Let's just close our eyes and pray together. Thank you, Father God, that we can gather here this morning in your name, Lord. We just want to honor you and thank you. Lord, we just want to give you all the praise that you deserve. Father God, I pray that our hearts will now be open, Lord, that we will have a unity in spirit, Father God, and that you will just speak to each one of us individually this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say that prayer is one of the most important parts of our lives. We start our day with it, we end our day with it, and we do it continuously throughout the day. Today I want to talk to you about what we can expect when we as a church pray. Often we look at prayer on an individual level, but there's also a corporate aspect to prayer. Today's scripture is from Acts 4 verse 23 to 31. Let me just give you some background before we begin. Early in Acts chapter 4, we find out that Peter and John had been arrested and put in prison for preaching in the name of Jesus, for preaching the resurrection from the dead. As they appeared before the religious authorities and the high priest, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks with great boldness, proclaiming about Jesus that there is no other name under the heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is in Acts 4 verse 12. So the apostles were then warned and threatened not to teach or to speak the name of Jesus. Peter responded by saying, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." This can be seen in Acts chapter 4 verse 19 to 20. Then after they were further threatened by the religious leaders, they were released from prison. That brings us to where I would like to focus today. So if you would like to follow in your Bible, along in your Bible, you're welcome to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 verse 23 to 31. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly you, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of the God with boldness." When things get rough, when we have problems, trials, or things aren't going our way, who should we turn to? The example we see here in Scripture is that they went to those who cared for them and would pray for them. Part of being a Christian means you belong to a local body of believers. We all need a place to go, home to go to, and the church is that place for us. Here prayer is offered on behalf of those who are suffering, and here we need to share our burdens and our joys with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Being a member of a local church is a great privilege and a responsibility. It's a great responsibility to be part of that. I want to talk to you about, in 3 points, why prayer is important. Point number one is, prayer is a response to God. When Peter and John were released from jail, they saw this as evidence of the grace of God at work in their lives. When the disciples were released and rejoined with the waiting Christians, they immediately had an impromptu worship service. They were thanking God for the outcome of their first significant encounter with those who didn't like the fact that they were Christians. It would be easy to understand why men who were in jail were praising God for being set free, but we see it in more than just that. When members of the church heard the apostles' report, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. The most powerful prayer is a prayer offered to God by people who are united in spirit. That's why we also pray about unity in spirit. When we come together, when we join forces in prayer, great things can happen. The second point is prayer is a recognition of God. Verse 24 starts with a prayer. It says, "Sovereign Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, who you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done.'" The word "sovereign Lord" here is the Greek word despota. This is the word we get, in the English word we get despot from, and it means one who has absolute authority. And here it means that God has absolute authority over his universe and his church. They were appealing to the highest authority for their protection. They presented themselves as his servants. They were not making demands of God. They were submitting to him. One thing we need is to have a view of God that is large before we see how small our problems really are. We must understand that this is the God of creation, who created all things. He maintains all things. He rules all things. He owns all things. The implication, of course, is that the Creator is more powerful than those who he has created. He is greater than your problems, greater than your financial struggles, struggling to raise your kids, struggling with your health. God is greater than all of this. Unless we understand how great God is, we will continually sell him short. If our view of God is too small, we will fail to seek after him in our times of pain and sorrow, and will forget him when we are truly blessed. We see in verse 28 that the early church found great comfort in the fact that the God they prayed to was the Creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign God of the universe, who was totally in control of all things that happened. It doesn't matter what happened, he was in control of all things that happened. So should they be concerned that mere men had threatened them and are seeking to stamp out God's kingdom? Of course not. They are on the right side, the side of God, the God of all history. What could mere men do to them? Because of their focus on God, the apostles and the early church saw the persecution they were facing as an ongoing resistance to Christ and his kingdom. The kingdom of God cannot be stopped, and because of this, they could not and would not be silenced. The third point, prayer is a request to God. So we're going to look at verse 29 and 30 again. It says in verse 29, "Now, Lord, look at their great threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Their concern about the danger around them was not for their own safety. It was because it might rob them of their ability to serve God. They prayed for boldness. The threats from the religious leaders were intended to silence the church from speaking the name of Jesus. And so, their requests were to have boldness in their speech, to speak the word of God boldly. The prayer for boldness and confidence was an admission of their own fallibility as Christians. They knew they couldn't do it on their own, but they also knew that God was with them the whole time. We end with verse 31, and it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." It's not surprising to find verse 31 ending with the announcement that all the believers spoke the word of God boldly. They knew God was with them, and they weren't going to let anything, be it prison, threats of persecution, or anything, get in their way. So the question we have to ask ourselves is the church in the books of Acts any different than the church today? And should it be? No, definitely not. The God they pray to is the God we pray to. The God who shook them is the God who will shake us. The God who filled them is the God who desires to fill us with His Holy Spirit. The God who empowered them to speak is the God who empowers you and I to speak so boldly about Jesus Christ. What I want to do today is to challenge you. I don't want you to be an ordinary Christian. I want you to be a God-fearing, a praying Christian. We need to pray for our church. You and I, we need to work to reach this community. I think and I know that God has great things in store for us. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Father God, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reassure us in your word, Father God, that you will give us the boldness to proclaim your word in the world that needs it today. Father God, where there's so much discord among people, Lord, where we live in a time where we feel uncertain about things, Lord, we know one thing is for certain, that your Son, Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead, Lord, and that we can boldly proclaim that, Lord, that we can go and pray for people, Lord, that they will be healed in Jesus' name, Father, that we can go out and spread your good news. Father God, we pray for our church as a whole, Lord, in South Africa. Father, we pray that every church will reach out to the people, Lord, in the communities, Father God, that they will see your love, that they will see your goodness, your kindness, Lord, and that they will see the plan and the future you have in store for them. Father God, we thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that you are always there for us, Father God, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us the boldness, Lord, that you give us the encouragement to spread your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask you and encourage you this coming Tuesday. We're going to have a day of prayer and fasting. We're going to pray for South Africa. We're going to pray for our church. So if you are interested, you're welcome to go to our website to get some more information. But we're going to do a day fast where we fast from sun up until sundown. You're also welcome to contact the office if you have any more questions. I pray that God will bless you and keep you in this time, and that you and your family will have a wonderful day further. Thank you.